In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is, again, we're on Volume 25, 11-4-1926. One more thing, again. We're going to do the 24 Hours of the Passion worldwide, all time zones, in every country. So get the word out to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, anybody who is willing to spend 1 hour on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. This will be something that will really astonish everyone. The 24 people who will do the 24 Hours of the Passion. And to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future, that will be to do and redo everything. So great things are coming, and this is a glorious time that God is giving us. Okay, so Volume 25, 11-4-1928. My daughter, for as many truths that I, Jesus, have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will, so many divine lights have unleashed themselves from our divine womb and have fixed themselves in you, Louisa, but without detaching from the center of your Creator. Think about this. This is an umbilical cord from God to Louisa. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, we have unleashed themselves from our divine womb and have fixed themselves in you without detaching from the center of your Creator. So what we're seeing here is why we go to Louisa. She is the one that possesses these truths. No other saint possessed these truths. And like some people say to me, well, John Paul II lived the divine will. No, he didn't. To live in the divine will, you have to read the truths. You have to study the truths. You have to put in practice the truths. Otherwise, you're not receiving that from God. And where do we find the truths? In the Book of Heaven through Louisa. So again, this is very, very important for us to understand. This is not a devotional life. This is a new way of beginning to think. The way Jesus is asking us to do this, again, it's really not new. It's the way Jesus and Mary lived 2,000 years ago. It's the way Adam lived before the fall. But for the fallen human nature, even redeemed, we don't know about this yet. And God is, you know, our God, he says, I've kept the best for last. It's like the new wine, you know, not the new wine. he keeps the best for last. Why? He as a good father, and it's Jesus, Father of the Age to Come. That's a title that he has in the litany. Jesus, Father of the Age to Come. As a good father, he loves surprises for his children. You know, we're going to give you a great birthday present. We're not going to tell you now, but it's going to be great. You know, it's what the child is looking for. It's what the child desires. And God is doing this. We are desiring to be one with God, and we have no idea what that means. Wait till you see what God's got planned. So he says very clearly, in fact, the divine light is inseparable from God. The divine light communicates itself. The divine light fixes itself in Louisa and never loses its center from which it came out. So Louisa can't lose this gift. Why? Jesus says Adam lost the gift. He says, but Louisa, you can't lose the gift. Why? Because Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. And they will never lose it. So he says to Louisa, you will never lose this. How beautiful it is to see the creature with all its lights fixed in Louisa, that having the virtue of making the one who created her arise again in Louisa. And so many times, for as many truths that are manifested to Louisa. And since I, God, have manifested to you, Louisa, on my divine will, are innumerable truths, so many that you yourself cannot count them all, many lights, that is, many luminous rays are fixed in you, Louisa Picaretta, that descend from God, but without detaching from the divine womb. See, this is the This is the umbilical cord from God that Louisa possesses. These lights form the most beautiful ornament in you, Louisa Picaretta, and the greatest gift that you, Louisa, could receive from God. When people say, I'm living in this, we're not there. Louisa is there. This whole book is about what God gave to Louisa, and now Jesus is saying to us, do you want what I gave to Louisa? Then what he says, I want you to do is begin to read this, study this, put this into practice. That's why the calendar is so much fun, because every day you're sitting down with Jesus. Every day he's talking to you. Every day he's transmuting you. The word of God is speaking to you as you read. And what happens? Your DNA is really changing. He's recreating you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. God is doing that. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. So this is what's coming. So he says, in fact, since these truths are fixed in you, Louisa, they give you, Louisa, the right over divine properties. And so many divine rights for as many truths that I've manifested to you, Louisa Picaretta. You cannot comprehend the great dowry that you have been endowed with by God with these truths that like many divine lights are fixed in your soul. The whole of heaven is amazed at seeing so many lights in you, Louisa, all pregnant with divine lives. And as you communicate these writings, these truths to other creatures, this light winds its way. This light fixes itself in other hearts, but without leaving you, and forms the divine life wherever it reaches. So again, from God to Louisa, from Louisa to us, an unbroken umbilical cord. The life of God is coming to us again. We're not going to be ever separated from God ever again. This is what Jesus is saying. He really wants us to understand this. So he says, my daughter, what great treasures have been entrusted to you? Imagine sitting down with Jesus every day and him talking to you. And he said, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do for you and for all mankind. I want you to write this down. Every day, basically, you know, you look at the calendar. Every day of the year, Jesus basically is speaking to Louisa almost every day. And he's teaching us. And as we read this, as we study this, this is what happens is to us as well. He says, my daughter, what great treasures have been trusted to you with so many truths that I have told you about my divine will. A treasure that has its source in the divine womb of God. And it shall give light, divine light, without ever ceasing. My truths are more than sun in the sky that gives light to the earth and invests it and fixes it. And it is fixing on it. It gives births on the face of it for each thing to affect the goods that its light contains. But jealous, it does not detach its light from its center. And so it is so true that as it moves on to illuminate other regions, the earth remains in the dark. On the other hand, Jesus says, the sun of my truths found in the book of heaven, given dictated by Jesus Christ to Louisa, while it does not detach from its center, fixing itself in Louisa, forms in Louisa the perennial day, the new day, the glorious day. Remember, scripture says, the dawn before the new day is the Blessed Mother. Our Lady has this, and she says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. We will be like her. We will be like her son. The new Adam and the new Eve. That's the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. That's what's coming upon the earth. And so what does Jesus do? He says, I want you to get ready for this. So I'm going to give you a book that I sat with Louisa sat and wrote down for 64 years. I want you to know what I told her. I want you to possess what she possesses. I want you to be linked to Louisa So you will never be separated from the womb of God. She isn't separated from the womb, and we are not separated from Louisa. See how important Louisa is? Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she? I can't wait to meet her. Because what God is doing in her is formed the perennial day, the new day. Vine 25, 12:5, 1928. My daughter, with the soul who lives in my divine will, it is more than if I made the sun descend upon earth. What would happen then? The night would be banished from the earth, and it would always be full of daylight. By always having contact with the sun, the earth would no longer be a dark body, but a luminous one, and it would not beg for the effects of the sun. It would receive into itself the very sustenance of the effects of the light, because sun and earth would live communal life and would form one single life. Just think about that. What's coming has never before been seen by mankind. Adam saw it, but Adam fell. We are now all fallen. We have been redeemed, but we're still fallen. And Jesus says, I'm going to bring you back to where it was before the fall. This is what Jesus said to Louisa early on. He says, it's like a baby falling down into a well. The parents are not happy until they redeem the child, pull the child up from the well. But they're still not happy until the child is the way it was before the fall. That's what's happening with us. Jesus is giving them the way and the how, the means this is going to take place. And it's found in the book of heaven. It's a simple book. It's for a children. What Jesus tells us is so amazing. The souls that can say fiat advance very, very quickly. The souls that go, well, I got to figure this out because I really don't understand what this means. And I had people in my prayer group for 12 years like that. And they finally left. I can't figure this out. So I, you know, well, just say fiat. It's so easy. God is going to help you. And then what happens is if you find a point in the writings that you don't understand, when you say fiat, three pages later, God shows you what he meant. He goes, good, just keep on reading. I'll take care of it. He's a good father. Oh, I don't know how to ride this bicycle. I'm never going to ride this bicycle again. It's like, just get on it one more time. Just let the Lord lead you, guide you, direct you. It's so wonderful to experience the Lord speaking to you about his life in us, his kingdom in us, the way he wanted it from the beginning. It's all going to happen. This is really just a glorious, glorious time. Okay. Right, form one single. Okay, right. What a difference there is, not between the sun in its height of its sphere and the earth in its lowliness. The poor earth is subject to night, to seasons, to asking the sun to form beautiful flowerings of the colors, the sweetness, the maturity of its fruits. And the sun is not free to display all of its effects over the earth if the earth does not lend itself to receive them, so much so that certain points of the earth the sun does not always reach and other points are dry without plants. This is nothing other than a simile of the soul who does my will in the divine will and lives in the divine will. It is, and the one who lives in the earth of our human volition. The first makes descend not only the sun of my divine will into her soul, but the whole of heaven. You see what's coming? When we say fiat, it's not, everything's coming into us. Everything's beginning to reign in us. Therefore, with this sun, the soul possesses the perennial day, a day that never sets, because the light has the virtue of putting darkness into flight. So the night of the passions, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin, the night of weaknesses, of miseries, of coldness, of temptations, cannot be there with this son of the divine will. And if they wanted to draw near to form the seasons of the soul, this sun beats down at rays and it puts all nights to rushed flight, saying, I am here, and that's enough. My seasons are seasons of light, seasons of peace, seasons of happiness, seasons of perennial flowering. This soul in the divine will is the bearer of heaven upon earth. See, what happens is when you read the divine will, when you let Jesus reign in you, you know, when you get together, you know, when the families get together, you know, there's always tension. There's somebody in the family that's a little annoyed with somebody, somebody who's upset with someone, somebody, you know, the fights that have happened over the years. In the divine will, the great thing about this is Jesus is there. Jesus is gazing and you're gazing. Jesus is listening and you're listening. Jesus is speaking and you're speaking. Jesus is touching and you're touching. Jesus is there. You're not there. And the tension dissolves. Why? Jesus is there. Can you imagine if Jesus walked into your room? Who would be upset? That's what he's saying to us. He's saying, get out of the way. Get out of my way. Let me reign. Do your prevening act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. Come, divine will, come reign in me. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. This is what God is waiting for. The soul is the bearer of heaven upon earth. On the other hand, for the one who does not do my divine will and does not live in my divine will, it is more nighttime than daytime in their soul. She is subject to seasons and to long rainy times that renders her always disturbed, always labored, or to long droughts, in which she rejects the point of lacking the vital humors in order to love her God, the very son of my divine will, because it does not live in her. It is not, the soul is not free to give her, the God is not free to give her all the goods that it possesses because the soul loves her misery. Some people just love to be miserable. And you pray for them. But what do you want to do? Do you want to live in this? Do you want this gift? Then you got to be peaceful. You got to be joyful. You got to become happy. How is that happening? Listen to Jesus speak to you. He's teaching you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's feeding you with this first bread. You're beginning to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So he says, you see what it means to possess my divine volition? It is to possess the source of divine light. Of divine light, divine life, divine light of all God's goods. This is the sixth step to receive the divine qualities of God, as much as a human could possibly receive them. That's what God wants for each and every one of us, not just to be good and holy and saintly. I talk to the children and I say, God is not calling you to be good. Being good doesn't make you go to heaven. You've got to become holy. You've got to share in divinity. You have to become like when that priest puts the drop of water in the chalice. We are nothing, that drop of water. But once you enter that chalice, it's fused and diffused. That drop of water becomes wine. Share in the divinity of Christ. It's not about being good. It's more than that. Good is the beginning. But he wants us to share in his divinity. So he says this. On the other hand, the soul that does not possess it is like the earth that enjoys the effects of the sun, like certain lands that are just barely illuminated but without effects. 5:25, 12:21-28. Jesus kept silent. See, when Jesus is silent, he tells something to Louisa, then he's silent. He wants us to meditate on it. When you read Jesus was silent, read what was before that. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus want us to focus on? He's saying, no, it's like putting the seed in the ground and tamping it down. You back off. Jesus is saying, watch what I'm going to do. Listen to what I said. Watch what I'm going to do. And at that moment, I saw heaven open and a ray of light descend from above, fixing itself upon me, illuminating those who were around me. This is Louisa. And my always lovable Jesus, resuming his speaking, said, daughter of my divine will, this solar ray is fixed itself upon you, Louisa Picaretta, in my divine will. That brings you, Louisa Picaretta, the life of heaven into your soul. Who is this girl? Who is she? How beautiful is this solar ray that not only illuminates you and brings you its life, but whoever draws near you, Louisa, and remains around you, Louisa, feels the life of the light, because like the sun, it expands around and gives to those who surround you the warm kiss of light, the warm kiss of its breath, the warm kiss of its life. He's not saying that about me. He's saying that about Luisa. I sounded Italian when I said that. And I feel happy with you in seeing that my divine will diffuses and begins to beat its way. The heart is beating in Luisa, and it's affecting everybody around her. The same thing happens with us linked to Luisa. In your family, everyone is in, that Jesus says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your friends, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your parishioners. The life of Jesus is there because of you in the divine will, linked to Luisa. Jesus says this, see the sea, this ocean of love, the seas of love that you saw are nothing other than my divine will operating in you, Luisa. When my divine will wants to operate, the seas, these oceans of love swell, boil, and form their gigantic waves, cry, moan, shout, pray, deafen. On the other hand, when my fiat does not want to operate, the seas of my love is calm. It only murmurs quietly. In the course of joy, its course of joy and happiness is inseparable from it, and it is continuous. Therefore, you cannot comprehend. See, he's saying to us, your mind is so limited. Our minds are so limited. You cannot comprehend the joy I, God, experience. The happiness I, God, feel. The interest that I, God, take in illuminating, in offering my very word, my very heart to the one who occupies himself with making my most holy divine will known. What are you supposed to do? You're to make it known to yourself. How much do you know in volume 20? How much do you rejoice in remembering what Jesus said to Luisa in volume 10? What do you experience when you think of volume 30? It's to make known to yourself. That's why you go to your room and you pray. You're alone with Jesus, and Jesus says, let me show you something. And what he says to you, you treasure. What he says to you, you cannot forget. Let's look at the visionaries throughout the world. When Our Lady would say something and keep it secret. Do you remember it? Oh, I remember it. Can you say it? I will not say it. Our Lady told me to be silent. You will always remember what Jesus says to you. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. And some people say to me, well, I can't remember things. I'm not, when's your birthday? Well, I know that. Yeah, well, why don't you know what Jesus is saying to you? You know your birthday. I don't think like that. No, listen to Jesus. Enter into these truths that Jesus has given to Luisa and watch what will happen to you. Yeah, this is so amazing. So Jesus says, my interest is so great that I, God, envelop that soul within myself, and I myself, overflowing outside of him, I, God, take the floor, and I myself speak of my divine things operating in my love. You're participating in God. How can you forget it? How can you forget it? This is so magnificent what God is showing us, that you fall more in love with Jesus, you fall more in love with the Blessed Mother, you fall more in love with the Holy Church, you fall more in love with the dogma and the doctrine of faith, you fall more in love with the Eucharist especially, you fall more in love with the sacred scripture. Everything becomes alive for you. Why? Jesus is teaching you. This is, he saved the best for last. You have to remember this. So he says, okay. Do you think that it is your confessor that speaks in these evenings in which he is speaking in public about the nine accesses of my love? No, it is I, Jesus, who take his heart in my hands and make him speak. This is why the priesthood is so necessary to Jesus in the divine will. It's Jesus that's speaking through the altar Christus, the other Christ. You have to understand this. I know lay people want to do this, but don't Protestantize these words of Jesus. Now, you can talk to people about the divine will, but to teach it is a different story. Jesus says it's the priest. He says it over and over and over again. It's very, very important that we understand what Jesus wants, and we give our fiat to what Jesus wants. I know a lot of people say, well, I know people that are doing it. Well, let them do what they want. Jesus says, I want the priest to do this. This is why it's important. Again, when you see your priest, give him the Book of Heaven. Give him the 24 hours of the Passion. Give him the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. Give him the prodigies of the Blessed Mother if he loves Our Lady. Watch what God will do. The priesthood is very, very necessary. And Jesus says, I'm going to renew the priesthood. Good things are coming. And wait till you see what God's got planned. It's going to be great. Divine 25, 113, 1929. And just as in the kingdom of redemption, I left my queen mother in the midst of the apostles, that together with the Blessed Mother, helped and guided by the Blessed Mother, they might give start to the kingdom of redemption, because the sovereign queen of heaven knew more than all the apostles. She was the most interested in the kingdom of redemption. It can be said that Our Lady kept it formed within her maternal heart. Therefore, Our Lady could very well instruct the apostles in the doubts, in the way, in the circumstances. Our Lady was the true sun in their midst. And one word of the Blessed Mother was enough for my apostles to feel strong, illuminated, and fortified in the same way for the kingdom of divine fiat, having placed in you, Luisa Picaretta, the deposit of the divine will. I, God, keep you in the exile still. She's still on earth at this time. So that the priests might draw from you, Luisa, as from a new mother, what can serve as light, as guidance, as help to give start to making known the kingdom of my divine will. Who's it given to? The priests. You have to understand this. Don't Protestantize the divine will by having lay people teach. It doesn't work. There might be it's like having a lay person in the pulpit giving, that was a great homily. No, it wasn't a homily. It was a talk. They're not ontologically changed. It's the deacons and the priests. It's the bishops are the ones who proclaim the word in the gospel and preach, teach. It's not the lay people. Oh, that was a great homily. That lady gave a great, no. It doesn't work like it. It doesn't change the interior of the soul. There's no ontological change that occurs for those people who are giving a homily or a talk where a homily should be. Great things are coming, and we got to get ready. What's coming is going to shock the world. Let me clue you. So he says very clearly. Okay. And as I see their little interest, if you knew how much I suffer, therefore pray. Jesus is saying that the priests have little interest of what they're supposed to do. I know so many good priests, and I say I remember this 90-year-old priest. We presented him the Divine Will 20 years ago. He read it and he says, "I've been waiting for this all my life." And remember, that was 20 years ago, to a 90-year-old priest. God has great plans, and He needs us to help the priests understand their important role, bringing the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven with Luisa. Again, don't force them. Pray, like Jesus said, pray. If you know how much I suffer, he says, pray for these priests. It's a new beginning that's coming. 525, 4, 1929. One is the Virgin, okay, and therefore the universal mother and queen of all. One is your Jesus, and therefore my redemption extends everywhere in a universal way, a Catholic way. Everything I did and suffered is at the disposal of everyone and of each one. Now listen to this. One is the newborn of my divine will. Luisa, you are the third. Now, if you haven't read the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Luisa, if you haven't read that, it'll open up doors to you to understand why this is so important to Jesus Christ. A human must be given this gift. The gift of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the life of Mary is found in a human. Why? Adam was a human. Adam was to give this gift to the world. And what Jesus shows Louisa is, I give this as Adam's daughter, Eve, the offspring of Adam, took this gift away from Adam. I give this gift to my daughter so that you will give it back to the man. Who's the man? It's the man. I thought I had some keys on the table here. The man with the keys to the kingdom. Great things are coming. Great things are coming. Don't be upset about anything. Just pray, pray, pray. Enter this gift of the divine will. Watch what God is going to do. Watch what God is in charge. God is in charge. Watch what he's going to do. So it says here, one is the little newborn, Louisa, my divine will. And therefore, the whole universe, the whole entire universe shall receive in a universal way all the goods of the manifestations and the knowledges of my divine fiat that, like a sacred deposit, I, God, have deposited in you, Louisa, so that more than a splendid sun, it may shine its innumerable rays to illuminate the whole entire world. Let's just change the words here for a minute. One is the newborn of my divine will. Therefore, the whole entire Catholic Church shall receive in a Catholic way all the goods and manifestations and knowledges of my divine fiat, like a sacred deposit that I, God, have deposited in Louisa, more splendid than the sun, that it may shine in its innumerable rays to illuminate the entire world, the entire church. Wait till you see what's coming. Therefore, everything I, Jesus, have told you contains the universal Catholic virtue that shall give itself to everyone and shall do good to all mankind. And he says, so be attentive. Follow my divine will in a Catholic way, a universal way. See, there's going to be, in volume 24, Jesus says, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, everyone will become Catholic. Everyone will possess this universal life. When that day, you have to remember, when that day happens, the day of the divine will, everyone will say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. Wait till you see what God's got planned. He has got something so beautiful, so holy, so perfect. It's going to knock the socks off of everyone because everyone is going to say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. There's only one church. There's only one flock. There's only one shepherd. That's the promise of Jesus at the Last Supper. Wait till you see what he's got planned. This is so glorious. And he has asked us to be alive at this time to witness it. And it's through our prayers that it's going to happen. He says, you know, our prayers in the divine will are so powerful that as you pray with trust, hope, and confidence, watch what God's going to do. Volume Volume 26, 5:16, 1929. Each knowledge possesses a different weapon. Oh, I love this. One different from the other. So each knowledge that I, God, have given you, Louisa, about my divine will possesses a special and distinct weapon. One possesses the weapon of light in order to illuminate. One possesses the possession of warmth and fundicates the seed of my fiat. Wherever there is a light, even small, in the creature, they fight with weapons of light against the darkness of the human will, the misery of the human will, to eclipse it and give it the life of my fiat. And wherever the seed, there is a seed of power or of strength, there runs a divine little soldier with its weapon of power and of strength to fight what? The human weakness, the human power and strength. Why? To make the power and strength of my divine will rise again. This is a war of love, Jesus says. It's not a war of blood. And he says, I'm going to overwhelm mankind with love. What's the divine will? The divine will is the kingdom of love. We are entering into this gift that God has asked us to be, to possess. Has, again, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what's coming. Something so beautiful, so holy, so perfect is going to be established. And Jesus says, I want you to witness this. Can you imagine what God's got planned? I mean, just think of the kingdom. He is building houses for us. He's building a palace for us. We see beautiful things that humans do. What is God making? And he's giving us a hint. He's giving us a clue. So Volume 26, 7, 27, 19, 29. So you see, the materials are already prepared. The buildings exist. The knowledge of my divine will, then more than sun must illuminate its kingdom and have vast buildings be raised from the material formed by me. So nothing else is needed, but the peoples must populate, that the people must, the pop, the peoples that must populate this kingdom of my fiat. That's you and me. That's your family. That's your friends. That's your neighbors. That's your coworkers that you're praying for. You have to understand. Jesus is saying this. And the peoples shall form and shall enter as the knowledges about the divine will are published. You have the book of heaven. There were times in the 80s, all we had was sheets of paper, mimeograph sheets. And by the grace of God, in the 90s, the volumes were released. And it's overwhelming the world. People who are reading, again, God wants a greater than Nineveh to occur. And he's using the little children, the holy divine will, to accomplish this. What's coming is so magnificent. All that he's asking of us to do is read, study, put this into practice. Watch what God is going to do. God is going to do this. 526, 8, 12, 19, 29. So who shall put to flight the thick darkness of the human will? Who shall give back to it the freshness, the beauty of its creation? It's the acts done in my most holy divine will. This is what God is doing. He's teaching us to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will. And everything's being repaired. You have to know this. They shall be the light that shall dispel the darkness, the heat that molding it with its heat shall destroy in it all the bad humors that have rendered the human ugly. Many acts are needed, done by the creature in our divine volition, in order to counter poison, the beauty, the freshness, the acts opposite to everything evil that the human will has done. Then shall our work and creation appear all beautiful again. It's going to be paradise. The black speck shall disappear, and it shall convert to a point, the most luminous point, the most luminous one in the midst of the magnificence of our created work, of our divine will, shall take dominion of everyone and shall reign on earth as it does in heaven. Therefore, you have to be attentive to operate in my divine will, because for each human act, the divine act is needed, that with divine empire knocks down, purifies, embellishes with good the evil done by the human will. Everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be redone. Now, my daughter, the one who lives in my divine will renders her rebirth and redoubles the rebirths for all human generations. Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to be reborn every instant. It's not just to be reborn. I want you to be reborn every instant. Why? It's a new birth. It's a new life that's coming, more beautiful than the last. Everything is more beautiful. Everything is more spectacular. When my supreme will lives inside the heart and lays the fullness of its endless light within it, it centralizes everything and everyone. It does everything and it renews everything. It gives back all that for centuries upon centuries it has not been able to give through other souls, other saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God. So this creature, Louisa, can be called the dawn of the day. Our Lady was the beginning. She's the dawn of the new day, the daybreak that calls the sun that gladdens all the earth, the sun that illuminates the earth, the sun that warms the earth, the sun with its wings of light, more than a tender mother, embraces everyone and everything, fundicates everything, and with its kiss of light, it gives the most beautiful tints to the flowers, to the most delicious sweetness to the fruits, maturity to all plants. Oh, if my divine will reigned in the midst of creatures, how many prodigies would it not operate in their midst? We haven't seen anything yet. No, we haven't seen anything yet. We watch a lot of things die around us. And I don't know how many flowers I planted or plants that I planted. I remember I planted 300 plants one summer. I got three. I'm not really good at that. In the divine will, everything's going to come to light. Everything's going to come to life. God is so, he's so good. So he says this. Therefore, be attentive. Everything you do in my divine fiat is a rebirth that you have in the divine will. And to be reborn means to be reborn in the divine order, to be reborn in the divine light, to be reborn in the divine sanctity, to be reborn into divine love, to be reborn in the divine beauty. This isn't of the fallen human nature. Each act of my divine will, the human will, undergoes a death. The fallen human nature undergoes a death, dying to all evil, and lives again to all divine goods. Do you see what God is calling us to? Again, this is unbelievable what our Lord wants. He's asking us, are you willing to take a chance? Are you willing to trust me? Jesus says to us, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to believe in me? Are you willing to believe that I've spoken to Louisa? He says, there's nothing in my writings that are heretical. Period. There's nothing in my writings. I like that. He says, if you read everything the way I've written them, there's nothing to be afraid of. Watch what I'm going to do. He's in charge. And he says, trust me, believe in me, hope in me, have confidence in me, and watch what I will do as your Lord, as your Savior, as your God. 5:27, 10:27, 19:29. The sun infests the earth with its light. It also gives its effects, but the earth does not become sun, and the sun does not become earth, because sun and earth do not fuse together in such a way as to form life one within the other. Therefore, they are always foreign bodies, and they do not look alike. As much as the sun illuminates it, warms it, communicates its admirable effects, and since it does not communicate its life, nor does the earth surrender its rights of life in the sun, the earth shall always be earth, and the sun shall always be sun. Such is the state of my divine will was and is in until man, listen to this, surrenders his human will, his fallen human nature, in mine. In mine, he says this, mine cannot cast its principle of life in the human will until man surrenders. The fusion of one with the other cannot take place. The creature shall always be creature without the likeness and life of her God in the depths of her soul, that only my divine fiat can form. Therefore there shall always be dissimilarities, distance, and even though my divine will illuminates it and communicates to it its admirable effects out of goodness and liberality by the effects and power and immensity that it possesses by its own nature. So Jesus says, when this happens, watch what I'm going to do. When this happens, hang on to your hats. A new beginning is coming. And so our Lord looks at us. Our Lord is asking us, I've given you the book of heaven, Jesus says. I know what you're going to read. I know what you're going to, I know when you're going to read the calendar. I know when you're going to read the hours of the passion. I know when you're going to, because Jesus says, as the word of God, when you read this, when you say yes and start reading it, your whole life changes. Jesus is speaking to you. And he says, there's no other book like this on the face of the earth. This is the only book, the book of heaven, that will transform a soul. And he says, I need your souls to be transformed so that the kingdom can be established. So, make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Tell him that you want what he wants. Tell him you desire possess. I say to Jesus almost every day, I want to know everything you taught Luisa Picaretta. I want to put everything that you taught Luisa Picaretta into practice. I don't want to lose one thing that you said to Luisa that I don't possess. So Jesus says, okay, prove it. you're praying it. I'll do this. What do you want? 10%, 30%, 68%. Do you want 100%? Prove it. So this is where your commitment to Jesus Christ comes in, especially during this Lenten season, especially on this Holy Thursday and Good Friday. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and be back in 15 minutes.